morning. Good morning. Can you hear me? Praise the Lord. I want to start this morning by talking to you a wee bit about the last time I was here. It was either last week or the week before. My life is so busy, I can't remember which week it was. But there was a lady came up and she gave a word very briefly about Ezekiel and the dry bones. And I had brought a visitor with me, and the word spoke right into his life. And it was fantastic. And we went back to the centre on the Monday morning. I preached about the dry bones, and it was so apt for us at Teen Challenge, the word, how the bones and the sinews and the muscles come together. But most importantly, in the piece of scripture, there was no breath in them. There was no breath in them. And it's something we talk about on a daily basis in Teen Challenge. A byproduct of being on that program is that you will no longer be on drugs. But you need the breath of God. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You need it for you. You can't be like a spiritual slug that soaks up other people's relationship with God. You need to have it for yourself, and you need to know it for yourself. Amen. Amen. So I gave Gordon a title this morning because he was pestering me for one. It's not something I would normally do. The changing face of success. And the reason I came up with that was simply because I had been thinking a lot during the week previously about how society has changed what success is in terms of what we do and rehabilitation and supported housing and getting men into a relationship with God so that they can live fulfilled lives, so that they can have meaning in their lives. And what the government has done, and if you're a government worker in here this morning, I'm sorry, but it's the truth. Amen. So the government has changed success to maintenance. They couldn't get people off drugs. They couldn't get people to stay off drugs. So they changed the rules and they called success something else. If you look up the back of this church this morning, you will see success. You will see men that are drug free. You want to see a miracle? Look behind you. There's a miracle. The world says it's not possible. With God, everything's possible. Amen? Everything is possible. We're going to take a piece of scripture from Mark chapter 4 this morning. I believe that they're going to be able to put it up on the screen for you. Very technical. The wind and the waves obey Jesus. So I'm going to read the scripture for you. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose. And if you'll see I was looking on your website last night, your theme for the last year has been arise, arise. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Wow. So Jesus is on the boat. He's got the disciples with him. The waves are crashing. There's a storm brewing. They're in fear for their lives. So they're in fear for their lives, and they have Jesus in the boat with them. How many of you know there will always be wind and waves? There will always be wind and waves. And sometimes I think we we come to faith in God and then we think that our lives are going to be sorted out and that, you know, everything's going to be fine. And that's just not how life works. There will always be wind and waves. There will always be stuff that will come against us. There will always be situations and circumstances outside of our control. Always. But you know what? That's okay. Because we know that. And when you're forewarned, you can be forearmed. And so that we know, because there's always going to be wind and waves, we know that it's very important that we are built up in Christ. That we receive from Him. We receive His breath in us. That we're built up. Gordon was talking earlier on about, you know, our prayers, you know, pray in the Spirit. If you can, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, sometimes people are baptized in the Holy Spirit and then they shirk away and they stop moving in the things of God. And I want to encourage you this morning to get back to that, to get back to praying from your heart, from deep within yourself. Deep calls out to deep. It's important. If you want to be ready for the wind and the waves, it's important. Perspective is important. They were in the boat with Jesus. They were fearing for their lives. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Be positive. There's a word for you this morning. Our culture is hyper-negative, looking for offense everywhere. Be positive. Do you know what? I mean, like, how many, we're going through some stuff, aren't we? Man, I am going through some stuff. You know, I've got two babies and I've got another one on the way. I'm going through some stuff. Amen. I'm feeling this pregnancy more than she is. That's the truth. Amen. Be positive. And rise up. Rise up. Rise up. I don't know how many, you know, like, countless testimonies we could get just now if we called people up, down. We called people down of different situations, and we're like, we feel a bit clueless and we're worrying and we're concerned. What's the outcome going to be? How are we going to deal with this? There will always be wind and waves. Set your sight on Him. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Because the danger is that we just come along to church. And we just come along to church. And outside of this gathering, we go back to what we know. And I want to tell you this morning that that's not God's way. God's way is that we would develop and that we would progress and that we would mature, that we would grow in character. And it's important to Him because He wants to give us something to give others. He has already given you something. There's a seed inside you. I was listening to a message a couple of weeks ago and it was talking about Gethsemane. And the word Gethsemane means oil press. And it was interesting because the preacher was talking about how the olives are pressed to the point that there's a seed in the olive. But they're pressed so much that the seed is not crushed. So it's just enough to get the very best. And you think about all the situations that you're in just now, and if you can imagine yourself for a wee second as a wee olive, and God is crushing so that you grow in maturity and character, so that you can be a witness of what it is to go through things and come out the other side unscathed, but having grown up in the situation, the very best comes out of you. But God's seed is not crushed. The seed of the knowledge of God is not crushed within you. So it's important when we come to church that it isn't just, you know, we're not like, it's Sunday, so we put our church clothes on and we get ourselves ready and we go along and it's like a club. That's not God's way. a community of people sold out for one another's success, that want to see each other do well, that want to help one another, that are there for one another through the pressing. Yes. Amen. Another scripture I was thinking about was, and you'll know this all too well, some of you will be living it, John 10:10, and it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. You know, the next sentence. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You know, and sometimes we are just living in the stealing and in the killing and the destroying, and we're like, where are you, God? What's happening in my life? You're being pressed. There is an enemy. And I was thinking about this morning on the way here and amongst the rabble of the vehicle. And it's this idea, you know, that see if the enemy can't get you from the front and stopping you doing what you're supposed to be doing, here's what he'll do. He'll get behind you and push you right into more and more stuff and distract you left, right, and center so that you can't focus on the things that you need to be focusing on. There are priorities. Like how many of us get caught up and we don't have time with God? Why? Because we're ministering. Because we're helping this one over here and we need to go and see this one. And well, if you want to be effective in doing all of that, you spend that time with God. Because he is the minister. Amen. The Amplified Bible in John 10:10b says, I came that they may have and enjoy life. Are you enjoying life? Have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. See, some of us are overflowing, but it's not necessarily with the fullness of life. It's not necessarily with joy. Or there's stuff coming out because we're being pressed. And remember, when you're pressed, something comes out, doesn't it? When you're crushed, what is it that comes out? And this idea that we would come to church every Sunday and we would go to our meetings, but we would still be angry and we would still be so frustrated with our lot in life. And we would still be, you know, full of unforgiveness for others, that we would still have these same issues that we should have dealt with 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Oh, because we can be a bit like that sometimes. We can be a bit stubborn with the issues that we should be and could be dealing with. Sometimes we make a very short journey, a very long journey. The thief, he comes to steal. He comes to kill you. No, you're still walking about. But the joy of life is gone. You know. He comes to steal our time. I mean, you know, time is your greatest commodity. The thief only comes for things that are valuable. You don't get many folks stealing things that aren't valuable. Some of your boys have stole a bit of bacon and a bit of cheese in their time. It was valuable then. He comes to kill our hope. You heard my brother talking about that there. The hope. The hopeless case. Do you know that there is no situation or circumstance beyond God? There is nothing that he can't put his hand on. Nothing. It's amazing, but isn't it? Somehow we single ourselves out and we put ourselves on a pedestal of despair. Yeah. I mean, you don't know what I'm going through. But God is God. We don't need to know what it is. God is God. The same yesterday, today, and he's going to be the same tomorrow. He's reliable. Amen. He comes to destroy the seed. The face of success is Jesus. Amen. The face of success is living in his ways. I think I told you this last time I was here, but if you're a Christian this morning, you have someone living inside of you who knows everything about everything. But not only does he know everything about everything, and you need some answers for some stuff, don't you? Well, why don't you ask him? Sometimes we go everywhere else, don't we? We go everywhere else, but you have someone inside of you who knows everything about everything. He knows everything about everything. And he has committed himself to teaching you his ways. He knows everything about everything. He's committed himself to teaching you his ways and leading you into all truth. Amen. I don't know if you got that there, but that's a good thing. That you would be able to reach down inside yourself and have some answers that you're looking for. That you would be able to pray to your Jesus, to your King, and say, God, help me. That you might get down with a pad and a bit of paper and say, God, speak to me. I've had many prophetic words, but will you talk to me this morning? Amen. And he will speak to you. It's not a question of whether he speaks, it's a question of whether you're listening. Are you listening? And so, you know, Jesus speaks about, be careful what you listen to. Well, be careful how you listen to what you listen to. Sometimes we hear with a critical heart, don't we? Sometimes we think that word's for everybody else, but no me, we're stubborn. The Bible says that God opposes the proud, but we're stubborn and we don't need help anyway. And we're in direct opposition to God. I don't want to be in direct opposition to God. He gives grace to the humble. Would you humble yourself before him? Would you bring your plight to him? Would you bring your issues and your problems to him before anywhere else? Would you spend that time with him? Would you sit down with that pad and that pen and say, God, speak to me? Would you begin to pray in the Spirit and lift up his name? When was the last time you went out to God and you were just sold out in praise and worship? You were just like, God, I love you. I've got all hell breaking loose in my life. But you are God. I'm telling you, some of these issues that we face will begin to fall away from us. Will they take it all away? Probably not. Because we need to go through a pressing. And he's after us something of great value at the other end of that pressing. And might I suggest to you this morning that your community and the people around about you would get something of great value after that pressing. Amen. The face of success is being a servant. Amen. Sometimes we're not too keen on this. In John chapter 13, Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Amen. He washes the disciples' feet. Fantastic. He's just about to be betrayed, and he knows it. But he washes Judas's feet anyway. Amen. He washes their feet. And Peter perks up. He's like, well, you're washing the feet. You might as well wash my head and my hands and that. So I was like, no, it needs to be the feet. He knew he was about to be taken out the game. The enemy was on him. But he strategized and he knew what to do. He knew that if he was to reach the highest place, he first had to go to the lowest place. So he said, get your shoes off. The enemy is after me. Get your shoes off, folks. I need to get a towel. I need to go to the lowest point so that I can head to the highest place. Amen. The face of success is being a servant. The face of success is being a husband. Amen. Will we skip over that quickly? The face of success is being the man that God has called you to be, not only in public, behind closed doors. Amen. The face of success is being a father. Amen. And a father doesn't need to mean your sons and daughters in the home. You have spiritual children. We have young people in the church that need mentoring, that need support, that need help. That need someone older than me to say, listen, I get it. I was young once too. I never done that. But I was young once too. The face of success is being someone who contributes and not always just taking. I mean, you know, simple stuff. Really simple stuff. Being a part of the solution rather than always being a part of the problem. I don't know if you get them here. Probably not, because I see these glorious faces lit up by the Holy Spirit this morning. But sometimes you get moaners and complainers and grumblers. The pastor's best friend. We don't actually get them in this group of guys we've got at Teen Challenge this morning. But the last group of guys, my goodness me. Like, we want to be successful. We want to develop. We want to do what's best for our lives and relationship with him. And yet we spout this negativity and grumbling and complaining. How about we all decided in this place this morning that we were going to be a part of the solution? You know, like Jesus, he went to the lowest point. What did he do? There was a problem. He realized it was coming. He rolled up his sleeves. Rolling up your sleeves and getting stuck in rather than throwing stones from a distance at some stuff that you don't know anything about. Well, I think this and I think that, and I'm just no happy about that. And it's like, well, you don't actually know anything about what's going on. What about you roll your sleeves up, and if you want to say something, get involved. Get involved in the issue. Amen. I'll finish with this morning. Amen. Thanks, Gordon. Always an encouragement. In Ezra chapter 3, it talks about the rebuilding of the temple. And you can look that up for yourselves. I don't think we've got time. Chris took it all up. Ezra chapter 3. And there was no temple. So they had to rebuild the foundations. And what amazes me is when they rebuilt the foundations, they stopped everything. They built the foundation and they stopped and they had a party. They built the foundations and they stopped everything that they were doing and they began to celebrate. They all got out their instruments and they all began to shout for joy because the foundation was built again. Foundations are important. Foundations are very, it was important enough to stop a nation for them to get their banjos out and for them to sing for joy. It says in the scripture that the old men, you couldn't tell the difference between the laughter and the crying of joy. Such was the moment. And I want to tell you this morning, some of you in this room this morning, you need to appreciate what God has done for you thus far. And maybe you need to down tools with everything that you're doing and just have a good think about what the foundation is that's been built. And begin to celebrate. And begin to lift up God's name and thank him for everything that you've got. Don't moan and complain and grumble. There's plenty of aim out there. Remember, you're supposed to be different. You're an ambassador for Christ. Amen. Yeah? In verse 36 of the scripture that was up, Jesus is out there in his boat. And the scripture says, but there were also other little boats on the sea. And so the question I want to ask you this morning is, when Jesus calmed the storm, did it calm the storm just for his little boat? Or did it calm the storm for all the other little boats as well? You're an ambassador for Christ. I want to tell you that you have been given the ability to go into every and any situation and speak peace. To speak his words. To be anointed for the moment. Amen. How many of you have different problems, situations at home, your family that don't know God, And sometimes, you know, you're predictable. Sometimes you've been reacting in a way that maybe doesn't best represent him. And maybe we need to have a think about who we are as an ambassador for Christ and what actually comes out of us. Because we should be able to go into those situations and speak peace. There will always be wind and waves. Amen. But we can speak God's peace. Peacekeepers. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, church.